analysis the lone winner and the losers of the latest Israel-Iran showdown. Iran is redefining the conflict and the role of its proxies. Its response to Israel's strike on Hezbollah in Beirut was part of a broader effort to portray the U.S. and Israel as one big Satan arrayed against a defiant Iran. By Zvi Burrell. The brief exchange of fire between Israel and Iran has likely come to an end. On the surface, both sides demonstrated their ability to respond and reaffirm the logic of a policy of non-containment. Yet even within this equation of retaliation, ostensibly designed to reinforce each side's deterrence, there are winners and losers. It is easy to tally the blows Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu absorbed from President Donald Trump, or to examine the limits of Israeli power when confronted with the vast web of regional interests shaping the Middle East. But the 24-hour war, widely viewed as a round of fighting that neither side could avoid, also reflects a deeper shift in Iranian strategy. What appeared to be a routine exchange of military responses was, in reality, another expression of Tehran's evolving regional doctrine, one that increasingly seeks to translate survival into influence, deterrence into leverage, and military resilience into a new political order. When Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson Esmail Baghaei declared Monday that Washington cannot separate itself from Israel's actions and that Iran holds the United States responsible for any Israeli violation of the ceasefire, he was doing more than stating the obvious. The remark reflects a new framework for the conflict. Iran has now been granted the legitimacy to respond not only to direct attacks on its own territory, but also to attacks on any of its regional proxies. The statement redefines the status of those proxies, casting them as an integral part of Tehran's imperial vision of itself. The shift marks a departure from Iran's traditional deterrence model, developed and implemented by Revolutionary Guards General Qasem Soleimani, which divided responsibilities between the mother state and its proxies in Iraq, Lebanon, Syria, before the fall of Bashar al-Assad, and Yemen. The new approach is a product of the war and stems from Tehran's reassessment of the performance and utility of those proxy forces. One conclusion increasingly voiced by Iranian commentators is that the proxy's original mission, to serve as a protective shield for Iran and absorb the costs of attack and retaliation on its behalf, has run its course after failing to prove effective during the war. Even before the conflict, Iran's ring of fire struggled to fully fulfill its purpose and, at times, forced Tehran to act directly, as it did following the killing of General Mohammad Reza Zahedi in April 2024 in an Israeli strike on a building adjacent to the Iranian consulate in Damascus. But such cases were rare, and even then, Iran portrayed its military actions as responses rather than initiatives. The contribution of Iran's proxies to strengthening its regional political standing has also diminished. The restoration of ties between Tehran and both the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia was driven in part by those countries' desire to neutralize the threat posed by the Houthis. Yet the Houthis have since reached their own non-aggression understanding with the United States. Meanwhile, Iran-backed Shiite militias in Iraq, despite their military strength, have become a double-edged sword that threatens Tehran's relationship with Baghdad. In Lebanon, Iran's most active and perhaps most important military stronghold, the government is pursuing an increasingly independent and assertive political course aimed at stripping Hezbollah of its military and public legitimacy. More troubling for Iran is that its near-total dominance in Lebanon is being challenged to an unprecedented degree, to the point that Tehran has effectively had to step into Hezbollah's shoes and confront Israel directly. The threat posed by the Lebanese government is not limited to Hezbollah's status or even its continued existence. A setback in Lebanon could weaken the standing of Shiite militias in Iraq, undermining Iran's leverage there and, in turn, affecting its relationship with the Houthis, who already operate according to an increasingly independent agenda. Against this backdrop, Iran's responses to the Israeli strike in Beirut's Da'iyeh suburb and its linking of Hezbollah security to the security of negotiations with the United States should be viewed as more than acts of deterrence. They are a central component of a broader strategy that treats the countries in which Iran's proxies operate as integral parts of an Iranian empire, echoing the view expressed by senior Iranian officials that an attack on Lebanon is equivalent to an attack on Iran. At the start of the war, analysts argued that Iran only needed to avoid defeat in order to claim victory, and that the regime's survival alone would constitute total victory. Today, after what Tehran sees as surviving a confrontation with both the world's strongest power and the Middle East's strongest state, the vision of empire appears closer than ever in its eyes, and Lebanon remains one of its cornerstones. To advance this vision, Iran has skillfully leveraged the combination of its geographic position, which gives it control over the Strait of Hormuz, and the vulnerability of the Gulf states. In doing so, it has begun replacing the protective role once played by its regional proxies. Before the war, Tehran invested heavily in cultivating ties with Gulf governments to build a political shield around itself. The conflict, however, appears to have convinced Iranian leaders that turning those same states into a potential battlefield, one capable of threatening their economies, yields greater strategic dividends. The threat to oil fields, natural gas facilities, desalination plants and airports has effectively compelled Gulf states to act as a brake on attacks against Iran. This was evident during the latest confrontation with Israel when regional governments used their diplomatic weight to push for an end to hostilities. At the same time, Iran has succeeded in making the threat to the global economy an integral part of its deterrence doctrine. Equally important is the ideological and political shift that has accompanied it. For decades, Tehran's worldview rested on a distinction between the Great Satan, the United States, and the Little Satan, Israel. That framework served Iran well when Washington and Jerusalem sometimes acted independently and occasionally disagreed over how to confront Tehran. The latest war, however, provided Iran with an opportunity to merge those two adversaries into a single strategic entity. In Tehran's view, Israel no longer operates alongside the United States, rather, the United States operates through Israel. Symbolically, Iran is abandoning the historic division between the Great Satan and the Little Satan. In its place stands a single enemy confronting what Iranian leaders increasingly portray as a greater Iran. By fusing Israel and the United States into a single adversarial bloc, Iran effectively turns both President Donald Trump and the United States into a protective barrier against unchecked Israeli action, since Israel remains constrained by the limits imposed by Washington. As a result, a threat to Iran becomes a threat to regional stability as a whole, forcing the United States into difficult choices about its interests. This allows Tehran to rely on a different deterrence architecture, one that reduces its military dependence on its proxies while preserving them as strategic pillars supporting its claim to regional power status. Yet sustaining and strengthening deterrence through geopolitical leverage is only one part of the equation. However sophisticated it may be, deterrence alone cannot deliver the prize Iran ultimately seeks, a transition from survival to economic recovery, and from recovery to a position capable of competing with the pro-American bloc of states in the region. The broader ambition is to convert what Tehran sees as a victory of survival into political capital and a new regional order in which Iran is no longer viewed as a problem to be solved, but as a power that must be reckoned with.